For the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about Set Free in 2004. A few years ago, a large group of Vietnam veterans met in New York to commemorate the Vietnam War and its effects on their lives. Many were still suffering emotional wounds from that devastating conflict. A Vietnamese Buddhist monk came to the gathering and told a very moving story. During the war, a young Vietnamese woman was killed. She left behind her husband and her young son. The husband, needing to provide for himself and the boy, traveled far and wide looking for odd jobs. Often he left the child with neighbors. After one of his long trips, looking for work, the man returned to find his village demolished and his neighbors all gone. Searching through the rubble around his house, he found scattered about some small bones. He was sure that these were the remains of his son. He wrapped the bones in a cloth and carried them with him everywhere he went as a remembrance of his son. Many years passed, and one night the old man heard someone knock on the door, and he called out, "Who's there?" And the voice outside replied, "It's your son. My kidnappers set me free, and I've spent many, many years trying to find you." And the old man yelled, "You are a fake and a cruel man. My son is dead. Leave me alone." He would not open the door. The pounding continued for a while, but then it stopped, and the young man gave up and left. The old man never found happiness, and he lost his son, who was still living. And why? Because he was determined to hold on to the bones of the past. Our message today is also a challenge, Set Free in 2004. That's my prayer for each of us during the 2004 year. This is the first Sunday of the new year, a great day for letting go of the bones of the past. Someone once said that God created us with eyes in the front of our head so that when we tried to look back, we'd get a stiff neck. The possibilities of the future call us to look forward. The good news for us is that at the beginning of this new year is that God has set us free, free from the bones of the past. How does such freedom come? The Apostle Paul tells us we are set free when we realize that we have been chosen. In our scripture for this morning in Ephesians, the first chapter and the 3rd through the 14th verses, Paul writes here to the Ephesian people, the people of Ephesus, reminding them God has blessed them with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ as his children. The word "in Christ" appears 10 times in the book of Ephesians. In Christ, we became children of God. In God's great realm, there are no grandchildren, there are no stepchildren, there are no illegitimate children. Because each of us is a child of God in Christ, and we are set free. We are chosen. There is great freedom in a feeling of chosenness. I believe Fran Tarkington is a man with a feeling of chosenness. Fran was for many years the scrambling quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. And before that, at the University of Georgia, he was one of the most prolific passers in NFL history. By the way, he was a son of a minister, and Fran Tarkington has always had a good sense of who he is. As one of his teammates on the Vikings once described him, he says he had a stranglehold on reality. Since leaving professional football, he has amassed a personal fortune of over $60 million. In an interview, Fran Tarkington revealed for the first time how he became a starting quarterback at the University of Georgia. This is an amazing account, and to those that you like football, this is something else. The University of Georgia was playing the University of Texas. Tarkington was a third-string quarterback on the Georgia team, with no one predicting that he would advance from that lowly position. On this particular game, Georgia was having a difficult time moving the ball. Late in the third quarter, they did not have a single first down. Now they were backed up near their own end zone, and it was third down. Suddenly, this young third-string quarterback started out onto the field. No one had told him to go onto the game. However, no one tried to stop him either. The first-string quarterback saw Tarkington heading for the huddle, and he assumed that the coach had decided to replace him, so he trotted off the field. Tarkington took charge and led the team down the field for a touchdown, and the rest is history. Can you imagine anybody having that much confidence in himself? He was startled. And on one of the most remarkable, he started on the most remarkable career of the sports world has ever seen. Can you imagine a player in a major college team having the confidence to step out onto the field under those kind of circumstances? That's a feeling of chosenness. You and I can operate with new confidence and new freedom in this new year, because we too have been chosen by God. We are set free when we realize that our sins are forgiven. To encourage the Ephesians, Paul wrote, "For by the sacrificial death of Christ we are set free." That is, our sins are forgiven. There are no deadlier bones to hold on to than the bones of guilt. Wrongs we have done often are a primary source of our feeling of unworthiness. In Christ, however, we are forgiven and given another chance. The Apostle Paul serves as a powerful example of this. Paul wrote in his letter to the 1 Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verses, "For I am the least of the apostles, unfit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Even though Paul once persecuted the church, through the grace of God, he was forgiven and given another chance. With his new life, Paul began proclaiming the message of salvation to the Jews and the Gentiles alike, and became the greatest missionary of all time. Country Western singer Willie Nelson recalls his boyhood days attending a small Methodist church. He said, "I was one of those kids who kept going down to the front when the preacher called for converts at the end of the sermon. I'd see somebody next to me start down to the front. Well, there I'd go again. I joined the Methodist church at least 30 times when I was a kid. Every time I'd do something bad, I'd go join the church again. I'd walk down to the front, renounce my sins, and ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. And all of a sudden, I had a new slate in the eyes of the church. Then I'd slip off again, you know, and smoke a long strip of cedar bark rolled up in a newspaper, and suddenly I was back facing the fiery furnace again. Each time I went to the front and rededicated my life, I wanted to leave my sins with God and walk away clean. I felt I shouldn't have gotten off so easy. I mean, the church had let me off, but I hadn't let myself off. Sometimes the hardest person to forgive is ourselves. We are set free in Christ. We are forgiven through Christ, and we can forgive ourselves. We are set free when we realize that we are not trapped by what has happened to us in the past. Many of us get stuck because we remember and relive the old painful memories. We get stuck and become paralyzed by our old bones. On Johnny Carson's last program, he acknowledged the presence of his family in the audience. One of his sons had been killed in an automobile crash a year or so before, and Johnny had said, "Life does what it is supposed to do." And then he said something to the effect, "And then you move on." For some of us, last year was the worst year ever. Many people lost their jobs. Many were laid off. Many found themselves having to cope with less income and more stress. Others experienced death in their families, which left them hurting and grieving. Whatever might have happened to us in the last year, the start of the new year is a time to free ourselves from the past and start over. New beginnings are possible. Richard Spielick tells of one of his such new beginnings. He was on a plane and he took out a Bible and began working on his Sunday school class lesson. This caught the eye, the attention of the man sitting next to him. However, Richard didn't want to engage in a conversation. He had work to do. Then he noticed the man had a Bible of his own and he decided to talk to him. And the man was a new Christian who had a powerful story to tell. The stranger said that things had gone from bad to worse, and then to unbearable. At first it was a single drink to be sociable, then it was two or several. Before long, there was a bottle in his desk drawer to make the long afternoons more bearable. He said, "You wouldn't believe how much booze I could put down in a single day. I would start with a juice glass of full in the morning," and then he began to tell of his business going nowhere. He spent a lot of time trying to make his new business successful. Eventually, his wife and children in tears left him. He said, "All I wanted was my friend the bottle." A business trip took him out of state. He said, "I was drunk and driving a rented car. I pulled up to an intersection. The cross street was a main highway. He thought he had stopped, but in the drunken state, he rolled through the busy intersection and was hit broadside by a truck. He said, "I was thrown out of the car with a terrific force. My body skidded along the pavement. All my clothes were torn off. I was bloody, raw, and battered, but I was still alive. The next thing I remember was two medics standing over me. They thought I was dead, and so did the policeman." He said, "I watched the policeman as he felt my pulse and listened for my heartbeat. He said, 'I was dead.' The policeman said, 'I was dead.' But they decided to take him to the hospital. He couldn't make a sound. I prayed and prayed the whole time. I promised God that if he would help me get their attention, if he would help me to get out of this situation, I would never touch another drop of alcohol again, and I would be his servant forever. The next thing I remember," he said, "is sitting on a gurney in the emergency room talking to a doctor. The medics and the policemen were still there. They were absolutely astounded. He was not seriously injured at all. After he was cleaned up, he was released. He decided to get some rest, and so he checked into a local motel. He bought a six-pack of beer and opened one can and laid down on the bed, flipped through the channels, and then he saw Billy Graham leading a crusade. And he said, 'Billy Graham was looking right at me and pointing his finger right at me, and he said, "You have made promises to God today that you haven't kept. This hit home,' he says. He said, 'I buried my head in my hands. I leaned over, almost touching the floor with my face, and I admitted my weakness to myself for the very first time. In this time of struggle, he discovered answers in God, in the Bible. He said, the Holy Spirit came into my body and into my life. The Spirit gave me the strength to open those beer cans one by one and pour the beer out. That's the hardest thing a drunk can do. I couldn't do it myself, but the Holy Spirit did it for me. This was a time of a new beginning for him. He was set free from the bones of the past, and we too can be set free. We have been chosen, we have been forgiven, and we are set free in 2004. What will 2004 mean for you and me? It's a time to make some plans and do some things to make our lives better. We need the help and strength, and God can give us the help and strength that we need. We need healing. God can heal us. We need forgiveness. God can forgive us. And no matter what we've done in the past, God will forgive us if we ask for his forgiveness. No matter what we have done to others, we can ask their forgiveness. And whether they forgive us or not, we can know in our hearts we've done everything that we can to make amends, and we can know that we are forgiven. No matter what we've done in the past, we can forgive ourselves. We are only human, and every human makes mistakes. And we can forgive ourselves because God forgave us. If you want help in seeking forgiveness, call me and let me help you. Our Christian faith is about new beginnings, and we can change. We can become a better person. We can find peace and love and happiness in church, in our church, and with others. And let's ask God to help us in 2004. In a few minutes, we're going to celebrate our Lord's commune with our Lord. And during the time that we have the silent prayer or silent time, let's offer a prayer and ask God to help us and help us to really feel that forgiveness that our Lord Jesus Christ has given us. The evening of the day before Jesus was crucified, he gathered with his disciples in the upper room for his last supper with them. And then he told them that they should meet around the table and remember him and his teachings and what he had done for them. We call this celebration Holy Communion. Just as Jesus always welcomed everyone who came to him, so we welcome everyone who loves our Lord to join us around his table to partake of the bread and grape juice as symbols of our Lord's sacrifice and love for us. This is a time to commune with our Lord in meditation and prayer. All you who truly and earnestly repent of your sins and intend to lead a new life following the commands of God and to walk from now on in his holy ways, draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament to your comfort.